What's going on, y'all? Welcome to episode 2. I'm excited about this one because we're going to have our first guest on the show, my wife, Chanel Smith. Chanel is a former student athlete and teacher from Conshohocken, Pennsylvania, a little small town right outside of Philadelphia. She is number one in my life, so it's only right that she's first on the show, right?
Yeah, sure. Or the fact that we're stuck in the house together and you have no choice.
I guess that does make it easy, but either way, I appreciate you for joining me today.
Of course.
For those of you who may not know, we've been married for 7 years.
Seven? How'd you remembered that? Like off top?
Well, TJ's birthday.
You had it written down.
TJ's birthday is the other day, and I always go, however old he is, I know it's a year before that. We literally got married, and TJ was there 9 months or so later.
Facts.
Anyways, let's go back to where we started, though.
Yeah, we have to, because that's like the number one question, how did we meet? And it's really not that an exciting story, but Tori and I met in college. I ran track at Maryland. He played football. Friends, mutual friends, we crossed paths. We ended up becoming really good friends at a pretty crucial time in both of our lives. And it just moved on from there. It's nothing really exciting about the story, though.
No Romeo and Juliet.
Sorry to disappoint. Tori is exactly who he is now. It wasn't like he was overly romantic or like swept me off my feet with some sweet words. No.
I didn't.
We just got really, really cool. We became really close friends. And then I'm like, oh, I really like spending time with this dude. He used to front, like, you know, it wasn't that deep. But as we see.
I mean, it doesn't really matter how you started at the end of the day.
Facts.
We're sitting here 7 years in, married.
Yeah, three kids.
Three kids and a whole lot of stress. So
fun times.
We made it.
We made it.
But now, you know, for us, it's been a journey. You know, you think about transitioning. You know, you were two years ahead of me at the University of Maryland. You were transitioning into your next phase of life as a teacher.
Yeah.
And then you had me coming on out, and I have the opportunity to go to the NFL. Now, for those of y'all that know, when the NFL comes around and you had the opportunity to be drafted, you have no clue where you're going to go.
Right.
You have no clue if you're going to get picked. You have no clue where your opportunity is going to be as a free agent. You have no clue if you're going to have an opportunity, period. So while very thankful for it, it put a lot of stress on our relationship.
Yeah, it was kind of a make or breaker. Like,
it was kind of, which is tough to say.
Yeah.
I mean, because you think about it, you know, we have been together and we're having a great relationship, but I'm personally not a fan of like long distance relationships. And it's not because I don't feel like I can't do it. I just think it's annoying.
Yeah, it wouldn't have worked for me either.
The things that you have to like worry about with long distance relationships, I'm just not really interested in it. And then also, it's not just about me. I mean, you think about you and starting your career, like you're a teacher, like you have to be in a certain area.
Yeah.
And you can't just up and bounce. You
right.
know,
I wasn't done. It was clear
yeah, it was clear as day, yeah.
That I wasn't going and we were gonna figure out what was gonna happen. But thankfully,
Look at God. Yeah.
Ended up in Baltimore.
Ended up right in Baltimore, right up the street. And we're still here. So I'm thankful for that. Not only that move to the Ravens, because the transition from Maryland was an easy U-Haul move.
Yeah.
But, you know, for our relationship, it was huge as well. And the impact that you were able to have as a teacher over at Dogwood Elementary.
Shout out to Dogwood.
Shout out to Dogwood over in Baltimore County. So it was a special time. I talk about my transition a lot, like even then, you know, just going from the draft to actually being a player. What was that like for you?
The initial transition or just in
the
general?
The initial transition. I'm talking about before.
The initial transition wasn't hard. I mean, all my friends were in Maryland. I worked at Dogwood. It wasn't a big change. I don't know if people know, but my family is in Pennsylvania. His family was in Virginia, so we were dead smack in the middle.
Right in the middle.
So literally, it probably was the easiest transition.
It was, but then what happened next? You know, we had this whole dream of staying in Baltimore.
Yeah, I was devastated.
I was going to play for the Ravens for the
Forever.
Rest of my career. I wasn't going to go anywhere else. And then boom, free agency hits, and I have to go to a new team. You know, the Ravens are not an option.
And I remember I took it so much worse than you did. I remember just sitting on the set being like so upset at everyone. And I think you were in shock. I was devastated. You were in shock. It was just a weird combination. But I remember just thinking everything we built, like we did so much in the community. I had my job. TJ was born.
He was born. Yeah, he'd been 9 months maybe.
Yeah, he was young, but we just built so much in Baltimore, and I felt like
it was home.
Yeah,
like you have the opportunity, like we established home here, and now I have to leave because of my career. But not only that, you had to leave these kids.
Yeah, that was tough. I mean, not only that, we weren't just moving down the street. We moved across the country.
To San Francisco.
And I couldn't, like, I just couldn't make sense of it all. And I remember being really, really frustrated and scared and not really for it. I think it took me a while to warm up to California. But in the end, it was probably the best thing that ever happened to us outside of football.
Absolutely. And, you know, shout out to the 49ers. And I know it didn't go as well as we all would have liked, but I have a lot of love and respect for that organization and the way they treated my family. And moving to San Francisco ended up being one of the best things for us because we had the opportunity to just focus on us. It was just us out there. We didn't have anyone else living with us.
We just had one kid. It wasn't a big deal. Right?
It was so easy. And honestly, I think that was great for our development just as partners.
Yeah, for sure. I think all of our transitions had a purpose. So when we moved to Baltimore, obviously that speaks for itself. Like I felt like we were meant to be there. But then when we moved to California, we needed a break, and right. We got our break for 2 years. It was beautiful. We didn't get bothered much out there at all. And we just, like you said, were able to focus on each other more. We had one child, which was pretty easy to manage. And then when we moved back to Philly, I felt like that was a whole different purpose. Like, I never knew that I wanted to be back home. I think I was like, oh my gosh, I'm about to be this close to everyone. Everyone's going to know me. Everyone's going to be hitting me up. But I really needed that time. I was able to explore things that I like to do, like coaching. And then having my family around and having that support with now two kids was amazing.
Shout out to the Williams clan.
Seriously, that was amazing. And then when we left Philly, I think that was another tough one for me because I got so used to just being around everyone, and I really enjoyed that. So moving to Charlotte, by the time we moved to Charlotte, I think I was to the point where football was just football, and I kind of checked out of everything else. Like, I had no intentions on making any friends. I didn't want to go hang out and explore. Like, I just was, this was business. And I think by that time, because we moved so much, I just didn't want to invest in another city and new people. And so that last move was tough in Charlotte.
And that's really kind of how it's been. Like, for me, I'm fine. I go to a new team, I'm going to know someone there already.
Right.
I'm in there. We're all working on a team. I have a family there, but you're sitting at home with TJ. And then that turns into Cam. And then that turns into a baby Corey.
Yeah, so that last transition was really, really interesting. And I know a lot of people think that Corey was planned. Corey was not planned, guys. When we moved to Charlotte, Tori was in minicamp. What were you in?
We were in just starting OTAs.
Workouts. Yeah. And I remember finding out and calling him while he was in the locker room and telling him that we were going to have a baby by the end of the year. And that was crazy. That's so moving crazy to Charlotte, now with two kids and pregnant, no support there at all. That was definitely a trying time. I think that was a rough one for us.
I think for me, it was, I felt like I enjoyed Charlotte. I love Charlotte. I love being in Charlotte.
You were hunting every other weekend. He was living life.
I was living life down there. Charlotte is like, for those of you who haven't been to the Queen City, it's an amazing place. It has great people. It's like a baby Atlanta without the traffic. And it's just not too congested. And I loved it.
I
love Charlotte. I could live there forever if we weren't so tied to Maryland.
Yeah.
I loved it.
It was cool, but I think the three kids thing almost took me out in Charlotte.
Yeah.
You were like trying to pressure me to get a babysitter so bad, and I just wouldn't get a babysitter.
Well, that's kind of part of it too. I think a lot of people assume that, you know, because we're in the NFL and a lot of people have babysitters, it's not about necessarily money. Sometimes it's just about convenience, right? Childcare is a premium for a lot of people in their lives and ease. And we would battle with this, like you would want to just be on your own because you don't trust too many people.
And it got worse. Each kid, I think it got it got worse. And like, again, I was coming off of living in Philly.
And having my was family. There, 1,001 like, helpers. Yeah. And
just that transition. And then that year, I think it was tough for me as well because I was coaching still and I still was committed to coaching. And going back and forth, that was a little stressful for me.
Well, let's talk about the latest transition for us. So oh my we go gosh. From Charlotte to this right knee of mine starting to act up a little bit. So we've had a lot of conversations. Obviously, you're my wife. We're around each other all the time that a lot of people wouldn't be in on. You know, when I was talking about retiring, you know about the pain that I was dealing with.
Yeah.
You saw me struggling going around the house. You saw the extra stuff I was doing to try to be healthy and 100%. What was going through your mind when I was like, this is going to be it?
It was a really weird, I had so many different emotions because one, every transition we had, my anxiety grew. So after our experience in California, I think I was like, I was done with football in California because my anxiety was so bad. I just worried so much. And then when we went to Philly, I felt like I got my like football happiness back and we were starting to build something. And then we went to Charlotte. My mind was always worried about like, what happens next? What happens next? And I know you were always really, really good about not worrying too much about that stuff. At least you said that. I feel like it was on your mind, but you...
No, I was never worried until I was hurt.
Yeah, but even when you were hurt, you were really confident. And I remember I was sitting there like, babe, are you sure? Are you sure? And I was like reading Twitter, like all these different things that you had no worry in the world. And I'm over here like, are you sure you guys are on the same page? Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Just I was really.
The whole process. I'm like, yeah, because again, I talked about it in episode one. So I don't want to go back and continue to beat a dead horse about my injury situation. But no one saw it coming.
No one saw it coming. But I had a weird feeling. And I was like, I was stressed. And so you were so confident. So it was. It was a weird dynamic. So when you called me that day, it was so unreal to me. It was out of the blue. Mm-hmm.
We already had a practice, and I was released after the last practice.
Yeah, and the kids were in school, and I was like really excited about them in school. I finally got comfortable with the school, and we finally had a routine. The kids were in school. I had Corey at home. Things were starting to come together, and then, boom,
another change.
Yeah.
That's life in the NFL.
I know.
If you're not doing what you're supposed to do, I never blame anyone for my mistakes, my failures, that was my first time being fired.
Yeah, that was rough.
I guess technically I got released in San Fran, but they just didn't pick up my option. It wasn't the same kind of experience.
Yeah,
That's a story for another day. I'll share that story another day. Yeah. But anyways.
I think all the transitions hit close to home because I felt so... I didn't want you to feel like you weren't good enough. And so, and you always handled it really, really well. I think I worried more than you did through every single transition. So that one, I was like, one, oh my gosh, like I finally just started like in Charlotte. The kids are in school. I love their school. Everything's going well. And then my thought to, oh my gosh, like, are we going to go to a different city? Like I was not, there was no way I could make, let me just say we moved. Not only did we move to four cities, we moved like three times within each city because my husband just likes to house hop. So we moved so many times. And don't look like that. We moved multiple times. We moved three times in Philly. We moved three times in Baltimore.
We moved two times in Philly. We moved twice in California.
And then we moved to Charlotte. And so I just couldn't wrap my mind around like, and you would think that we would be pro Packers. We suck. Like it's always a traumatic experience when we're moving. So I just couldn't think about moving our entire house to another city. And so when you started throwing around the retirement thing, I thought you were jumping the gun. And in my head, I'm like, oh, my gosh, that would be amazing. Like, I can't wait. I'm done with football. But you were serious. And I was really surprised. And I almost didn't want you to retire because I'm like, you're going to regret this. And I just knew you were going to regret it.
I think it's easy to be full of regret when you're not confident in your decision.
Yeah.
Like for me, I knew where it was with our family. You know, I'd always said if the family was ever in jeopardy or my body, then it's time to hang them up. And I said our family wasn't that deep there, but that feeling was there.
Yeah, TJ had just started kindergarten.
Yeah, TJ just started school, and stability is a big deal to me. Like, being stable is literally my definition of success. So,
honestly, I think that's what I admire about you the most, is that you're always thinking about how you can put us in a position to be the most stable. And so all of your thoughts, even though you think about it a little too much, like it consumes you. I remember the first couple of years, Tori always talked about where he needed to get by a certain time. And like every time, every conversation was about where he needed to get so that we're cool and we're straight. And I'm like, babe, we're going to be good. Like, chill out. But
I've always felt you have to have goals. Like,
no, of course.
If you don't know what you're aiming for or even what you need, I think part of that is literally identifying what you need and figuring out how to go get it. Like, one thing about it is that I'm a grind to try to get whatever I want, whatever I need, and whatever I need to provide for y'all. And that never really changed. And so now that it's like, man, like, well, all the things that you work for, and now you're kind of living it through the transition, it is a very weird feeling.
Yeah, I think one of the things that was for us was that we really didn't live a crazy lifestyle. So transitioning for us, it wasn't like we were like living these extravagant lives and then like, okay, we need to like dial back. We've been very chill people in general. And so our dynamic maybe isn't as dramatic as some other people's transition. Ours seemed like, I mean, everything is pretty much the same, except no Sunday.
But it has been a very big transition within our family. I mean, I'm home.
Let's get to that part. I mean, this is... No, we have to rewind it a little bit, because those of you who do not know, my husband is impulsive. Like, once he gets something in his mind, there's no talking him out of it. And so once he decided he was retiring, he wanted to make the decision and he wanted it to be over and he wanted to start working on what was next. In my mind, I'm like, okay, we have this lease. Let's just ride this out for a couple more months. And our house, oh yeah, the house is being built at this time. Should have been done, wasn't done. And so I just
wanted... That's a whole other podcast
in
itself.
That is definitely another podcast.
We will save that one for later.
But we were stressed about it. And Tori was all of a sudden, I don't know what happened, that he was just like, let's pack up and be out of here like next week. I feel like we moved in a week. That might have been the quickest transition.
We moved in a few weeks. But we knew like there was nothing going on in Charlotte. We were just sitting.
Our kids were in school. And in his mind... And I mean, this is the honest like conversation here. We were arguing a lot during that time because you wanted to move and I wanted to just relax. So his idea of retirement was like, okay, I'm retired. I need to go get another job. I need to do this. I need to be working on this. And I'm just like, can we just like breathe for a couple weeks? Like, I'm really enjoying that you're home and that you can grab the baby. Like, let's enjoy that for a little bit. And he was like, we need to be packed by next week and we need to be out of here. We got in the car. You drove the U-Haul up. I flew with the kids. Like, you know, it seemed like a week. Maybe it was 2 weeks.
Yeah, it was more like a month, but I'll let you live.
Okay. Well, anyway, it felt like a week. It was too fast. It was way too fast. And so I kind of wanted to take that time. I felt like when he retired, I was like, whew, like I can breathe. We can relax. And he was like, nope.
It's on to the next thing.
I have a job interview next week. Not only that, we moved to a hotel. That was stressful as crap. Shout out to the Hyatt, because we lived there for 3 months.
Miss Donna. Every single person in the Hyatt is literally like a family member to us now.
Three kids in a hotel for 3 months.
But it wasn't supposed to be that long. So we have to put that disclaimer out there. For those who don't know.
He didn't listen to me.
Our builder went bankrupt during the process of building our home. That's all I'm going to say. It's literally a legal issue. So I'm not going to touch that one for a while. But we were stuck in this hotel for months longer than we anticipated.
Yeah. Even when we moved there, it was like, all right, we'll be in a hotel for 2 weeks. And then it was a month. And then it was like, oh my gosh, we've been here for 2 months. Mm-hmm. And then it was 3 months. Like, so that, I think that transition was the hardest for us because... Am I overestimating?
You're definitely. I think it's might be 2 months.
Whatever. Who's counting? We were five people up in a hotel room, literally going crazy. My point was that transition was so hard for us as a family because you had in your mind how this was going to go. And I had in my mind that, like, you needed to chill out and slow down. I mean, you were ready to, like, buy a property and open up a rec center in November. You retired in September. And you legit were, like, going out looking for these places. And I'm like, just chill, just chill, just chill. Like, we need to breathe. We don't have a house right now. And I think you were just so used to routine and used to doing stuff all the time that you were literally going crazy just not doing anything.
I think that's probably been the biggest adjustment is routine. I think I've tried to learn from a lot of people that came before me. Like, I, when it comes to this game of football, like, there is an end date.
Right.
There is an end date, so you can't be surprised. So I've had the opportunity to learn from so many different guys that have been there, guys who've made mistakes, and guys who transitioned well. And the thing that's been consistent is just having a solid routine. So for me, I hate being bored anyway. So to have something that I could work on in terms of trying to build our foundation, our fund, and what we were doing in the city, I was like, man, we're living in the city right now. Like, let's
jump right back into it.
Let's go.
And
let's,
I think
let's,
that
let's,
was
let's go change
that
this city.
Was, call it how you see it, very selfish in that moment. And I know you, it wasn't an intentional thing, but we literally had three kids in a hotel room. We argued so much more in those couple of months. I don't know if it was, maybe it was just being in the hotel for that long, but I think it was that plus you just like ready to go, ready to go. And then the frustration of our house not being done. I think it was a combination of things.
It was more so the house.
It was a lot. It was a combination.
Because you would get mad at me for stuff I can't control with the house. Like, why isn't this done? Well, I'm not out there being Bob the Builder right now. So I'm not responsible for this delay.
Yeah,
but
we that was. That.
And a timetable that kept getting pushed back. I mean, imagine being told that your cake is going to be ready in 2 weeks and it takes 2 months. I mean,
cake's not really the best.
It's a big deal.
I mean, for me, I like cake, but
you like cake. Well, it's not the best analogy. I mean, that is really for you. Imagine.
I mean, it literally was. Remember,
seriously.
I had a birthday party planned.
You did.
At
you
our
had
house.
A whole birthday party planned.
Had a whole
that
party
didn't
plan.
But seriously, just imagine like something like stability. Essentially, is you're told it's going to be there in 2 weeks, so you can get into your new norm, and it doesn't happen for a couple months. It was some very trying times.
It was for sure trying
but,
times for us.
I mean, we knew it would pass, and now. We're home. We're in our home. We're trying to figure out what the routine looks like here. And I think what I've dialed in on is that I'm going to be a very impulsive, like not really have a type of routine guy until it's figured out. Like, it's like one of them things where like, I have so many lines.
It drives me crazy.
Yeah. Like, I mean, but part of that was like, I prepared for that too. I don't know if you were mentally prepared for it, but I had prepared to have a lot of options and then figure out what I wanted to do. And now when it really happens, it's like, man, you're here, you're there, you're free today, you're not tomorrow. You're like,
yeah.
it's completely
All
different.
All of my moms out there know that that's not really the best situation when you have kids that you have to deal with. You can't just pick up and go on these random interviews or hunting trips that are last minute for 2 days. But it's been an experience for us. I think we finally were getting into a groove of you being like really hands-on with the kids. Like, yeah, now I don't feel bad when I'm like, you need to help me clean up or you need to do this. No, grab your daughter. Like before I really felt like I couldn't ask those things of you. You were working, you were doing all these things. When you came home, I didn't want to bother you. Now it's like, oh no, we're in this like full blown together. This is 50-50. So I think it's been an adjustment for you, but it's been a beautiful thing to watch how much our dynamics in home have changed. And I'm sure it's going to change even more. But then coronavirus came out of nowhere. Like we were right. just getting into the groove of things.
I was continuing to grow on my Uber driver role of the family, you know, taking
car drop off,
taking the kids
late
to
school.
My kids are
late
not late
to
school.
Not late, but later than
you
I would
can't
like.
Keep saying late, though. Late is when the bell rings.
In the
you're
nick
not
of time,
there.
He's making it in.
I'm going to be there. Fashionably on time.
Have you guys seen my husband, his carpool attire? It's out of control. Homeboy goes with a full like winter coat on, nothing underneath. Shorts, Crocs. It's a hot mess. Thank God he doesn't have to get out the car.
Whatever I see. And when I have to get out, I'm like, dang, I'm going out bad right now.
You've been doing the no shirt thing for years, though.
Yeah, man.
That is so weird. Grab a t-shirt.
Throw your Crocs on. I mean, who doesn't want to live like that?
He's a full-time, like, carpool dad. It's so cute to watch.
Pick him up, you know, get him on back, kick it with him. Those are my boys, man.
Yeah,
and then,
so.
And then come deal with Crazy for a while.
Crazy Corey.
Yeah, but, I mean, like, we talk about transitioning from the league to retirement, and now we're transitioning to literally being quarantined in the house.
So, because we've transitioned so much, at least for me, I don't feel that big of a change. Like, it is different having the kids all day long in the house because we've been spoiled with them being at school at least for half the day. But for us, because we transitioned, we know how to transition so well. We don't know how to move well, but we know how to transition. We know that when things happen that are big changes, that we have to work together, that there's responsibilities that we each have to take on, and that things have to be structured in a certain way. And I think that's worked for us in transition times.
Yeah, I think our situation for sure helps. I think I recognize that it's hard for a lot of people, especially the timing. You know, I think of other, even people who are in my shoes as athletes or former athletes, like, I'm thankful that I have you to be a teacher.
Right.
You know, like, we call it Chanel Academy.
Call it Chanel Academy.
TJ calls it Chanel Academy. Cam calls it that. When Chanel Academy kicks off, Chanel has them in full-blown school. I mean, you can see that on our Instagram at ChanelSmith_22, where, you know, she's going through lessons with them, and she's honestly having the opportunity to have her hands on them and to teach them the way that she wants them to be taught, which is always great. But it's full-time, and it's different. And for us, it works. You know, I'm the PE teacher now at this
point.
Yes,
you are the PE teacher. And if you try to skip gym, one Friday he said, "Do they have to do school today? Can we just chill?"
That's a lot, man.
You're gonna do your job, PE teacher.
I saw a meme online the other day, and it said these teachers really have us watching their kids. And I really felt that, because you think about it, as a parent, there's a certain time period, whether that's during the actual school year or literally the hours of the day, where you're like, I do not have to deal with these cats.
Kids are in school for 6+ hours a day.
Yes, and I think this is a crucial reminder that teachers are severely underpaid, which we've been saying for years.
Yes.
I mean, I was able 1,000%. To see firsthand, like, through you. I've known what teachers have meant to me in my life from back in the day, but even watching you and the way you interacted with the kids and poured your money into them.
Late nights, early mornings.
Yes, the whole nine. So shout out to all the teachers out there. You are appreciated, and I hope when it comes out of this, the parents appreciate you more, and hopefully we get this pay raise up, man. Folks need it. They're working hard.
Let's get it done.
Essential jobs, essential people.
Shout out to all the essential workers out on the front lines for us. It's a big deal right now that, you know, you guys are out there putting your lives on the line for us, and we really, really appreciate it.
There's a huge digital divide right now that has been very apparent.
Oh, absolutely.
During these times.
I have some friends whose kids go to private school or to some, you know, certain districts, and nothing has changed for them. Like, within a week, they were up on Zoom calls and doing all these things.
Which is awesome,
within
by the way.
A week. Oh, absolutely. It's amazing. But for so many other people, like, our districts are still trying to figure it out because they weren't prepared for it. And so many families don't have the resources that they need. And so, and even outside of the resources, you not only need the resources, but you need someone who knows how to use them. I'm helping my nephew right now with his online curriculum and whatever they have for them. It's tough to get through. You have to be kind of tech savvy, and you have to actually sit down. It's not like you can put the kids on the computer and say, listen to this video. You have to be hands on, because if they don't understand it, they can't raise their hand to their teacher and say, help me. So, I mean, it's a lot to think about. It's been on my mind every single day.
Me as well. I just think of, obviously, seeing Kyleem and what you're able to do with him is unique, but, like, he has you. I think about someone like myself, or even picture myself coming up.
Oh, like, absolutely.
If you don't have the internet, if you don't have a tablet, if you have so many different things, you just have to pick up a packet. Like, if you don't have someone in the home that can help you with that, then they're just giving you work just to say they're doing it on their part. They're not equipped for it.
They're not equipped. And you think about just kids over the summer, how much they lose over the summer. You talk about the summer slide and the reading and the math. We're adding an additional couple months to that. And so I just worry about how that's going to look next year, and not just academically. Like, kids are in the home all day long. You think about how frustrated we get with our kids, and we are, you know, equipped to deal with our kids. You think about the extra stress of the financial burden that's now on all these families, and the kids being in the house all day and not understanding their work. That's a whole lot of frustration in a house.
It is.
So we just have to start brainstorming about how we can even impact it a little bit. And we've been throwing around a couple of things, but it's a sad situation. But I think for us, what I've learned through all of our transitioning is that our outlook on things changes the situation. And so when we moved to California, I remember being just really angry and just not open-minded at all. And I looking at all the things that were wrong with the situation. And that made my experience through that transition really miserable. And I think what we've learned to do, we had a little relapse when we were living in a hotel, but what we learned to do is to cling on to the things that are going well and the things that we can take from it versus looking at the negative. I think that's kind of our key to successful transitioning, is sticking together. Because if we weren't on a, think about it, we were blessed that every transition, we were on the same page at least. We weren't going through a stressful time. We weren't arguing. Like, we were on the same page. I couldn't imagine transitioning.
But even then, though, like, even when things weren't perfect, we always remember we were on the same team.
We had to. You had to go back to that.
Which is what's probably essential in any relationship, any friendship, any partnership, any whatever. Like,
especially during times of transitions. You have to remind yourself you're on the same
team. Yeah, in times of turmoil, like right now. I mean, people say, like, we're in this together. We're in this together. Like, if we don't help each other, who will?
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's those lessons are more clear. Like, being able to deal with adversity, for us, there's no secret that we deal with it well, not only because we've experienced it the last 10 years or so, but this was an experience coming up as well. You just have to deal with things and you have to adjust. So honestly, I know there's going to be a lot of negative things that come out of this virus, but I think a lot of good is going to come out of it as well.
I'm seeing so many people that I know personally who don't have the best patience with their kids, or like aren't equipped to like teach them. And here's the thing. People feel like they've got to become overnight teachers. I studied and I did put in a lot of work to get to the point where I'm a great teacher, and I'm going to call myself a great teacher.
Uh-oh. Pat yourself on the back then.
You know, you don't have to become an overnight bomb teacher. Like, take your time, be patient, read with your kids. Do the little things that you can, the little things around the house that you can. Don't stress out too much about it. I know it's hard, but we're pretty much all in the same boat right now. But I've seen a lot of my friends who are actually really enjoying the extra time that they have with their kids. Initially, I remember them like wanting to jump out a window, but now it's like, okay, I can get used to this. Like, they're learning things about their kids. Like, I didn't know my kids struggled with writing. And because they have to be there now, they're like, I need to start paying a little bit more attention to that. So I think it's really cool to see that part of it.
What other advice would you give a parent who's dealing with that type of stress? Like I said, it is new. Like, your friends have recovered and they are in a good space and they appreciate the opportunity to interact with their kids. But what about the person who's still struggling with that right now? What kind of advice would you give them?
I think one thing that I always try to remind myself is that my situation is not unique. Like, there's a lot of people who right now are struggling. There's a lot of businesses struggling. Teachers are struggling. The kids are struggling, and just trying to find something positive in the situation. There's nothing we can do to change the virus. It's going to spread. It's going to impact people. There's just nothing we can do about it. So are you going to take the opportunity to make something out of nothing, or are you going to let it drive you crazy and spoil relationships and allow you to miss an opportunity for growth? And so I think that's the biggest thing, is looking at it in a way that is positive and just seeing what little things you can do. Because even right now, I know for our district, they gave us no materials for the kids, really. They gave us very little resources at home. And so I know there's a lot of parents like, I don't know what to do with my kid all day long. You just got to get creative. And I'll post some things. I'll try to do my best. Tori's been pressuring me to make videos and do all types of things. I'm getting there.
But, we're going to do it.
But you just got to use what you have. I know there's just so many things you can do around the house. you just got to get creative. Writing's is a very simple way to kill time. So if you have a pencil and paper, make your kid write. Give them a new topic every day. Make it fun. I will say a lot of parents are depending on packets right now. One little tip, if you're going to give packets and worksheets, give your kids feedback. There's nothing worse than giving your kid a packet, them filling out every day and realizing my mom's not even checking this or no one's really paying attention. So it's hard for them too. So just work on building relationships with your kids, spend time reading, spend time writing, and just try to make the most of the situation.
Thanks for the advice, Chanel.
Whatever.
It was awesome, seriously. I know you think I'm always joking with you.
You are always joking.
Because I'm
with
trying
me.
To get you to create this YouTube page for the people, but it's all right. You're going to do it.
Okay.
I think you're great at what you do. I think you're a great mother. I think you're a great wife. I think you're extremely hard worker, and you're very committed to all of that.
Thanks, babe.
Now it's time for me to transition to my favorite part of the show, Tori's Take. I mentioned the digital divide earlier and wanted to get my take on it in our current climate. I have to say this first so people don't think I'm trying to make others feel bad for their success, but we have to talk about reality. You should never feel guilty about having the opportunity and resources to provide your child with the best education possible. I believe that any loving parent will want their child to be in the best situation to succeed. Parents work their tails off for that opportunity every single day, so don't feel guilty by my words. I would just like to encourage us to look at an opportunity and how it isn't the same for everyone. We are living in unprecedented times, and nothing these days is considered normal. I think about how people who have a leg up in society continue to lead the pack, but those who may lack in resources continue to fall behind. The digital divide is on full display during this time period, especially in our education system. Some kids have the opportunity to continue their educational experience online through resources like Zoom or Google Classroom. It's amazing to me, to be honest. It's a new experience, but these kids aren't even missing a beat. Some kids are working from their laptop, while others are falling behind because they don't understand the packet that was handed to them by their school. They don't even have a resource to ask for help. It's not the ideal situation for anyone, but there is a clear difference. Again, I don't want anyone to feel bad for having the opportunity to provide the best educational experience for your child. That's all of our goal, and it should be. I just want you to be aware. Be aware that the next child isn't lazy. The next child does care. The next child does want the opportunity to improve. And even more than that, the next child's parents wants the opportunity for their child to succeed. They are falling behind because they simply don't have the resources. Let's do our part to make sure that every student in America has the opportunity to learn and thrive. Technology is a must for anyone who is looking to succeed in this day and age. Let's continue to acknowledge and close the educational gap and the digital divide in America. Thank you, Chanel, for making this long, adventurous walk down to the basement.
Anything for you.
I appreciate you being my first guest.
And new co-host.
New co-host. Oh, I think I might be reaching a little bit, but whatever. Hey, that's why it's important for the people to speak,
hey,
right?
Hey, speak, people. Let them know.
Let them know. All right. Hey, look, if they go subscribe and they leave in the comments they want more Chanel, guess who will be the co-host?
Hey, got a new job.
Or we'll get a new podcast through Herd Pies. I don't know which one. Herdpies.com or you're going to be a co-host. Which one?
We'll see.
All right, we'll see. See y'all next week.